What do you think it is that gives some people that level of audacious confidence when they don't have the competence? I mean, do they think they have the competence, or they just don't care, or what?
Welcome to the Kingspiration Podcast. This is the place where you'll learn how to get unstuck and gain momentum in your life and business. Each week, we tackle the real aspects of entrepreneurship, personal development, relationships, and fitness. I'm your co-host, Ethan King, from Atlanta, Georgia, USA, entrepreneur, TEDx speaker, and best-selling author of Wealth Beyond Money.
And I'm your co-host, Justin King, no relation to Ethan, from Cape Town, South Africa, entrepreneur, speaker, and business growth strategist. Our journey crosses continents and cultures, sharing wisdom and experiences to propel you forward. Welcome to Kingspiration. Let's start the conversation.
For those of you that are listening to this, you won't be able to see, but I'm holding up a copy of Think Again by Adam Grant, and it's a book I'm busy reading at the moment. And it has had me hooked since the very first page, where he really grips his readers with a wonderful story about smoke jumpers and the learnings and the need to be able to rethink a situation. So loving the read. But Ethan, what has stuck out to me in the last couple of days and what I'd love us to chat about today is the idea of confidence versus competence. And it's something that I've actually referenced quite a bit recently in a lot of facilitations that I've been doing. And I always say the way to close the gap between confidence and competence is through preparation. And that can be preparation for anything. But in particular, what Adam Grant has done, he has outlined what he feels is the confidence sweet spot. And he's created a four quadrant model or framework where he has belief in yourself and belief in your tools on the two axes. And so I'm going to run through this really quickly, and then I'd love us to chat about it. But he speaks about the sweet spot being confident humility. And confident humility is when you have belief in yourself, but you are uncertain when it comes to belief in your tools. So belief in yourself, so you've got that self-confidence, but you're uncertain around the tools. And your tools could be hypothesis that you have. Your tools could be the opinion that you have around something. The tools can be anything. And he speaks about that being the sweet spot, because obviously you need to have confidence in yourself. So you need to have that. You need to be secure in your belief in yourself, but it's a strength to be uncertain of your tools, because that means that you are never then complacent, that you are always willing to learn more. You don't show up as the individual who believes that they know everything, and then you switch off to this ability to learn. So that's when he speaks about being secure in your belief in yourself and uncertain about the belief in your tools. The other areas that he speaks about, when you're secure in yourself, you're secure in your belief in yourself, and you're certain about the belief in your tools, he calls that blind arrogance. So if you are secure in yourself and you're certain, absolutely certain about your hypothesis, absolutely certain about your opinion, that's just blind arrogance, because you're not opening yourself up to being able to hear a different opinion, learn something new, change your thought process around an idea that you have. Strong opinions loosely held. So that is blind arrogance. He then speaks about if you are insecure in your belief in yourself, but certain about the belief in your tools, he calls that obsessive inferiority. So you've got confidence in your tools, you've got confidence in what you're putting out there, but you're insecure in yourself, so you're always shying away. So that becomes almost this inferiority complex, which he just terms this obsessive inferiority. And then lastly, he speaks about if you are insecure in the belief in yourself and you're uncertain about the belief in your tools, that is debilitating doubt, because there's nothing to hold on to. You're not secure in either. You're not certain about either. And that just leaves you floundering in essence. So this has been going through my mind again and again, but it's this concept of confident humility, being secure about the belief in yourself, that being uncertain and being willing to be uncertain about the belief in your tools. And as I said, belief in your tools could be hypothesis or whatever that you're putting out there. So I'm loving it, because it becomes a weapon for people who struggle with imposter syndrome, because that's really what it has come off the back of, the way he has been explaining it in the book. It's just about being humble in and in being humble and embracing what it is that you don't know and using that as fuel to drive hunger to learn and think differently. So I've blabbed on a little bit. You've been listening and trying to make sense of what I've been saying.
I mean, if you look at some of the strongest leaders in history, I think that that's how they model themselves, having that confident humility.
Yeah. And he takes it a step further, and he breaks it up between what he speaks about as the armchair quarterback and then imposter syndrome. The armchair quarterback is somebody whose confidence is greater than their competence. And the person who has imposter syndrome is somebody whose confidence is less than their competence. And that's a wonderful model to understand it. But if if your confidence outweighs your competence, then you're in this dangerous space of being this armchair quarterback who thinks you know more than you actually do.
So is the armchair quarterback, is that the Dunning-Kruger effect? Are those
Correct. It would reference the Dunning-Kruger effect.
So it's so interesting. Monica and I talk about this all the time because right around after 2020, we would see all of these business coaches pop up out of nowhere. And these people had just started their business like 6 months ago. And the business that they started was a business coaching business. So it's like it amazes me the amount of confidence that they had to coach others on something that they have no experience, very little experience doing. Yet here I am with over 20 years being an entrepreneur. And sometimes I have imposter syndrome. Like, who am I to teach someone else? Like, who am I to share? You know, I have so much more room to grow. So that Dunning-Kruger effect, that armchair quarterback, like, what do you think it is that gives some people that level of audacious confidence when they don't have the competence? I mean, do they think they have the competence or they just don't care or what?
I'm going to let my brain work that over while I reference a great quote that I heard by, and I don't know if it is from Itay Tulgham in a talk that he did in his TED talk around leadership. Mm-hmm. You would have seen it, the conductor. He speaks about leadership and he shows other conductors. And he said, an ignorant can teach another ignorant that which he does not know. And that was the first thing that came to my mind now, is somebody who is relatively ignorant around the subject, but confident and can speak with conviction, will teach somebody else who's relatively ignorant as well, so who doesn't necessarily know a lot about that same subject. They can teach that person something that they do not themselves know. They have been in business for 6 months. They are a business coach. And they are teaching lessons that they themselves do not know yet. So that's the first thing that comes to mind. I think it comes down to you cross a threshold. So you don't have enough experience that you don't have any confidence at that point. You then get to the point where you have got a small amount of experience, and it's kind of like a self-inflicted halo effect, where you're thinking the halo effect being if you have deep knowledge around one topic, generally people around you will feel that they would ask your opinion on topics that are outside of that as well. And that's the halo effect, this idea that your smarts can cover all of these areas. And that's where my mind is going to at the moment. I think that you start off, you haven't necessarily got a lot of confidence. You've got some belief in yourself and you feel that you can do this. You pick up a little bit of knowledge, and that suddenly becomes a self-imposed halo effect that takes your amount of knowledge and the ability that you actually have and casts it way too far, that then causes your confidence to actually exceed your competence. So I don't know if it's not caring, but I think sometimes we just get caught up in this idea that because I've learned a little, I've actually learned a lot. Rather than I've learned a little, there is a lot that I still need to learn. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I wonder, let me see if I can share. I found that image. I was searching for it while you were talking about it. So I'll share for the purposes of the video.
There we go.
Those who follow us on YouTube. Here's the graph showing that sweet spot of confident humility between the Dunning-Kruger effect, which is being an armchair quarterback and talking about things you don't really know about. And the other opposite of that is imposter syndrome, where you do have the competence, but you don't feel comfortable talking about it, I guess. So, yeah, that sweet spot is right in between. And, you know, I think, you know, it's a spectrum, right? This is all a graph. And when I think back to someone who I follow, Russell Brunson, who he's kind of controversial in what he teaches, but I kind of blame him a little bit. People like him, Tim Ferriss, even I have a lot of respect for both of them. But when they preach that in order to be an expert, quote unquote expert, you really only need to be a few steps ahead of someone else to be considered an expert, because you're an expert relative to them, right? So if I decide today to go and take badminton lessons, and I take them for a month, and you've never played badminton, Justin, then I'm an expert in badminton to you. But with only 1 month of badminton training, I really suck compared to all the other badminton players in the world, probably. To you, and to probably a lot of the population, I'm an expert. So then I can go and become a badminton coach. I can have a badminton course and position myself as an expert. So now where does that fall? Is that armchair quarterback? Is that Dunning-Kruger effect? Or is that confident humility? Where do you think that falls on the spectrum, that scenario?
I suppose it depends where you're positioning yourself. So on a scale of zero being an absolute badminton novice to 10 being a professional, if you're positioning yourself as a 3 or a 2, and I suppose you are offering your services to people who are a 0 or a 1, then you're quite entitled to do that. I think if you are positioning yourself, if you were sitting at a 3 and you are positioning yourself to service or provide a service to badminton players who are sitting at a 6 or a 7, I think you then jumped over the threshold. I think you've then gone into armchair quarterback. You've gone into where your competence is actually like greater than, well, your confidence is greater than your competence at that point in time. Whereas if you realize your level of competence and you are able to with that realize and understand who it is that you need to service or will be able to provide the best service to, I think we're going down a bit of a rabbit hole here. I think it's okay, because you don't have to be an expert to be able to serve anybody.
I think you hit the nail on the head. It's all about how you position yourself. And so here's what I think is the solution. If you want to position yourself to teach others, to empower others, make sure you're being authentic. And if you haven't done it yet, then document the process and be transparent about the fact that I'm documenting my journey. That's different. Like if I said, hey, I'm documenting my journey of becoming a badminton pro, and I want you to follow along with me, and I'll teach you as I go. That's being more authentic. That's being transparent versus me saying, hey, I'm a badminton expert, and in reality, I've only had 1 month of training. That would be disingenuous. So when it comes to, in fact, I'm doing this in my life. I do a lot of talks on AI now and ChatGPT and automation. And there are a lot of people doing talks on AI. We did the episode on PodFest. I can't tell you how many AI speakers there were. It's kind of like if someone were talking about the internet in 1995. Oh, I'm speaking on the internet. Well, what does that mean? That could mean so many different things, right? But I'm appalled at how many people call themselves AI experts today, where ChatGPT just came out a year ago. Were you really an AI expert before then? Or are you just an enthusiast who's really... So I even, at the beginning of the workshop that I did an AI workshop a couple of weeks ago, I said, I'm not an AI expert. I'm just a guy who, I'm a business owner, just like the rest of everyone else in the audience. And I've learned how to leverage these tools. Now, I have been working in automation since like 2011, but I've learned how to leverage these tools. And I'm sharing them with you, what I've learned. And I've also, I don't even know if I shared this with you, but I'm writing a new book called ChatGPT to Double Your Business in 90 Days. Now, have I actually used ChatGPT to double my business in 90 days? No, I haven't. But I'm very transparent that I'm documenting the process I have a theory of how to use it to double my business in 90 days. And I'm going to use myself as the guinea pig, and we'll see how it comes out at the end. You know, if it works, great. I'll have doubled my business. But if not, then you will still have learned something along the way.
Yeah. That's interesting. So where does, I'm interested because that's a great example to use now. So where does competence and confidence come in for you with regards to that as a project? So how is it, do you have blind confidence that this is absolutely going to, or blind arrogance that this is going to work? Or are you, do you have a matching confidence and competence level with regards to ChatGPT? Is there a sense of imposter syndrome, but that you're using that as fuel to learn more? So kind of like, well, who, to your point that you just made now, who am I currently to write this book? Because I haven't done it yet. So that's a sense to ask yourself that as a sense of imposter syndrome. But the way you have framed it is, okay, but then I'm going to do the work. I'm going to apply it in my business. I'm going to prove the concept, and then I will be who I say I am. It goes back to Alex Hormozi's. You would be able to provide a stack of undeniable proof that your book can do exactly what you says it can do.
Right.
So you would be building that proof. So how have you managed to position it for yourself with regards to competence and confidence and wanting to move forward with the project?
Yeah, it's good that you asked that because I kind of stumbled into speaking about AI by just sharing with others, no pressure, not positioning myself as an authority, but positioning myself as a peer. So the first AI talk that I did was actually last year when I was in Cape Town. And I was there for an EO conference, and I was just sharing with some of the other marketing chairs of other chapters, hey, this is how I'm using ChatGPT to do my job faster, my job in air quotes, because it's a volunteer position serving as a marketing chair for an EO chapter. And I just did a 20-minute presentation, and I showed them the different prompts that I'm using to generate all the different social media outputs. And I think custom GPTs weren't out then, so it's evolved. But I just shared it with no expectation, and everyone in the room was blown away. And I was kind of like, really? Like, I thought, because you kind of think, well, it doesn't every, if you know something, you kind of think, doesn't everyone know this? But no one, everyone in the room was like, that's my biggest takeaway from this whole conference was your 20-minute presentation out of this whole 3-day conference. And I was like, my mind was blown. So I just kept, I got a lot of requests to share that message more and more and more. As we've learned, stages, book stages, right? So I figured, well, I'm onto something. So let me keep teaching this, keep enhancing it, because I'm authentically using it for myself. So I use it for EO chapters. I use it for my own business. Let me teach other business owners how I'm doing it and just be transparent with them. And everyone has been blown away by the content. So that just shows you, I mean, it is relative. Expertise is relative. But there are some things that you probably shine in that you don't even realize that in comparison to the rest of the population, you're probably like in the top 1%.
Yeah. So this is interesting because I think for me, so where you step onto the wrong side of this line is when there is you stop wanting to learn more, you stop wanting to understand more, you stop wanting to get better, because that, for me, that would be that moment that your confidence has overtaken your competence. Because it then becomes, it holds you back from becoming any better, and you then just stagnate and you start not offering any value. And that's just why we always said, like, a small amount of imposter syndrome. So you do actually want a bit of a gap between that competence and that confidence, because you want it to fuel you to understand more, to become better, to earn your spot at the table. I often describe imposter syndrome as that feeling that I'm sitting at a table with people and I don't deserve my seat here. And then when you have that feeling, it's, okay, what work can I do? What can I read? What can I research that's going to get me feeling like I really, really do? And as long as it doesn't become debilitating, I think it's a really useful thing to have. But as soon as you don't have that anymore, that's when the complacency would set in, and it just doesn't serve you any longer.
Right. And so you have to keep, especially within a field like AI that's changing every day, changing every week, you have to stay on top of it. But it needs to be something that you're passionate about to keep learning. I mean, I'm always, you know, podcasts, books, I'm every single day, I'm learning something new, trying out new things. And because every time I do this talk, it's different because of the nature of how rapidly things are changing with AI. But to your point, you do have to have a little bit of that because there's always somebody who's more of an expert than you are, right? So you have to have that humility. If I can't go into a room acting like I am the end all be all definitive voice on AI, I'm not even a programmer. Like, obviously, the people who created ChatGPT are way smarter than me. There's thousands, millions of people smarter than me in AI. But that's also my advantage because I'm able to teach it in a way that everyone understands. Like when I do these AI workshops, there are people in the room who literally just opened their ChatGPT account that morning. And there are people in the room who are very advanced with it and make custom GPTs and everything. But I'm able to teach in a way, and this is from the feedback I've gotten, I'm able to teach in a way that appeals to all of them where it's not too fast, it's not too slow. Everyone walks away with something. So I think that's the beauty of not being an expert. If I were too much of a programming AI expert, I'd be above people's heads, right?
Yeah. I really like that. And for everybody listening, I think the beauty here is that it's A, to realize that, let's say, the majority of people that you meet have some sense of imposter syndrome. So you're not alone in having it. You've got to make sure that you don't allow it to become debilitating. But if you can just shift your lens with which you look at it to say, okay, this isn't necessarily holding me back. I can use it to fuel myself to want to grow, to want to become better, to stay sharp. If I'm sitting on the other side of the fence where I don't feel it at all, I've slipped into arrogance and I've slipped into complacency. And that's actually when you should be worried. I think we sit here being so worried about this feeling of, oh, am I at that level that the pro in AI and the pro in ChatGPT? Well, maybe you don't need to be, because the people that you're serving are going to get so much value from where you currently are. And as you keep improving, they will be following you and you'll be pulling them along. Whereas if you're sitting at this arrogance level, this complacency level, you stop learning, meaning that people that want to engage with you and are engaging with you are also stopping learning, stopping getting any better as well. So it really is, how do you turn that into fuel, and how do you sense check yourself to see where it is that you are sitting with respect to being overconfident or just confident enough?
Yeah, well, I think the key is, and you know, to bring this to a wrap and give our listeners some takeaway value, some action steps here, is to be authentic and to look at what do people come to you with questions about? Like, what are people always asking you about? Because a lot of times we don't realize the hidden expertise we have. And when you find that gem of what people are asking you about, but you kind of take it for granted, and you're like, well, doesn't everyone know this? Well, no, everyone doesn't know it. So that'll give you that humility in teaching it. But then you also see that you do have a level of expertise that others respect you for. And I think kind of where you find that spot, that sweet spot in the Venn diagram there, that's where you can teach from a point of confident humility, and you're not being an armchair quarterback, and you're also not having unhealthy imposter syndrome.
Amazing. I think that's a great place to wrap it up. Ethan, appreciate your insights.
Till next time.
Thanks, dude.
That's a wrap for today's episode of Kingspiration. We hope this conversation sparked insights to ignite action in your life and business.
We're on this journey together, sharing our challenges and successes to help all of us take the next step towards building momentum and ultimately reaching our goals.
If you found value in today's episode, please share it with someone else who might benefit and leave us a 5-star review.
And remember to hit subscribe so you don't miss out on our weekly conversations. Until next time, keep rolling, keep growing, and keep being inspired.